All right, welcome back to the Language of Behavior. I'm so excited for this episode because as folks are listening, we are in California, Anaheim, California, at the MTSS conference. And we're so excited to present both myself and Charlie have our own individual three-hour sessions. We're going to be talking about different things. And then we've got what we're super excited about, which is our joint session on the language behavior. We're really going to kick off the school year for most folks, give them strategies in regards to both Tenet 1 and Tenet 2. Charlie, do you want to share about what your three-hour session is about and anything about our joint session?
Yeah, I'm so excited. First of all, I was in Nashville last week and got to work with school counselors mainly, but also school leaders, but in the same kind of space. And I did this session. It's called SOS for School Mental Health, Strategies for Staff and Students in Crisis. And so, I mean, it's just so needed. And so we get to look at like, what's the problem, but then giving solutions. And so what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to combine in the 3 hours, some stuff from my anxiety and avoidance, because I'm not doing that at this MTSS conference. It's so popular. So I'm going to pull some items there and put it in there as a way to like just show what skills we can use. And then we're going to combine some of the language and behavior stuff in there as kind of a prelude to what you and I are doing later.
Can't wait. Yeah. So this is going to be perfect. I think our listener question that we're going to be talking about today actually correlates quite well, I think, with what we're talking about in our joint session. So we'll kind of give a hint of what we're doing with answering this question. But also, we've got some exciting news, Charlie, as we're going to be kicking off a summit for year two, because we did one last year.
Yeah.
And this one is a little more exciting because it's expanded a little bit more and it'll be in the month of September. So do you want to share kind of the vision and what folks will get for signing up for this free event?
Yeah, well, this is just super exciting. Okay, so it's the School Behavior Solutions Summit that we've done before, but we just have so many more people. There's so many people involved. And so we've got to have two nights. Now we've got to have two nights because there was like a big response. So we decided we're going to pull all of our resources this time. It's going to be September 16th and 17th. It's totally free. That's what you and I do. We like to make these things free. It's 5 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. And of course, if you sign up, you do get the replays and access to all the speaker resources. And what's cool about this too is we're going to do interview style. So it's casual, but if you have questions, you can submit them in the chat and maybe we can work them into. So I'm just so excited. What about you, Josh?
Oh my goodness. I'm super excited too about the interview style. I think that's really fun just to get kind of a raw conversation with folks. It's not prepped, it's not prepared, but you're just getting great knowledge from phenomenal guests that are going to be a part of this. So yeah, I'm jacked. I can't wait for September to come. And I know this is going to be very valuable too, as folks are getting in the swing of things. They've probably been in the classroom maybe for a couple of weeks. Maybe the honeymoon period is starting to rub off and they're getting into some behaviors and things that are needed to be successful for the full school year. So yeah, I love that it's free. I love about the guests so far that have already agreed to be upon that and just being a part of this wonderful event. So I just appreciate you, Charlie, and let me join once again for the summit.
Yeah, we'll have we're going to put a link. I'm going to give it to you by the end. Perfect. And if you've seen me like working on things, it's that. I'm trying to pull that link up. But yeah, we're going to give the link to everybody. We can just start signing people up. And it's also on my website. If you go to thrivingeducator.org at the top, you could actually sign up there too and share it out, man. We had tons of people over 650 people last time.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah.
So it's great all over the world. People are coming in. They need this stuff.
Yeah. It's not just for the United States. So anyone that's outside, of course, sign up, feel free to join us. We'll make sure that the link is provided for those who are watching on YouTube. We'll have the link there, but then also I'll make sure from here until the event, we have the link in the show notes for folks to be able to sign up. So if you're ready, Charlie, we can jump into this listener question.
Let's do this. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So if you're new to the show, of course, we're always asking for questions from folks. We've got one from Velma here, and she's asking, how do you empower students to believe that they can achieve their goals? And I'd love to also kind of segue into, Charlie, just as teachers are getting their roles, they're setting up the classrooms, they're starting to think about how to make connections with students, that we also think about like some strategies to build trusting relationships, because I think that's probably a good starting point in regards to this question. Because if you don't have that trust, if you don't have that strong relationship with a student, it doesn't really matter what you say. They're not going to feel empowered, especially during tough times. So what comes to mind?
It always comes to mind to like just tell them you believe in them, which sounds really simple and dumb, but it usually is. It's usually that simple. And so like one of the things I would always do as a high school teacher is those adolescent students, they're just taught that they're dumb sometimes. They feel that way, right? Or that they're not capable, or that they're too silly or too risky, or all of these things. And so they're already bringing that into the classroom. There's kind of a mistrust with the adults anyway. And so you really do have to foster that. And then sometimes what I would say literally is, listen, we're just starting out here. I'm just trying to figure you out, and you're figuring me out. And I really do want to help you do well. And so whatever that means to you is up to you. So I try not to even put pressure on the grade right away. I try to just kind of leave that space. And then one of the things, as it started out, is really tried to do those one-to-one conferences with students. And I know it's hard to do, but if we give kids, like the other kids in your space, your classroom, whatever, the time to like work on something, well, you meet one-to-one, just pull them up to your desk and just say, hey, just trying to ask you a couple of questions. What do you need from me? You know, how will you learn best? And what will you do to adjust when I am teaching in the way that you're not going to learn? How can I support you? Those kinds of little things are so small, but they do have a big impact, especially when you follow through and then tell them you believe in them. And the other part to that is when they tell you something about something that they couldn't do well or why they didn't get something done, tell them you believe them. And tell them, let me help you figure it out so you can get it done right the next time. So I know that's a lot, but it's really simple things that we can start the whole class off with and have great success as a result.
For sure. And even if you can't bring a kid up to your desk or rotate through each student, I mean, there's ways to do it. I know my teachers did a morning check-in with their kids, and it was really just it eventually was paper to Google form, but it was really like essentially asking, what do they need? Is there any resources, you know, number system, how they're feeling? I mean, there's a way to get some information quickly, not really interrupt your lesson plan at all, mm-hmm. and still be able to kind of get a gauge of where that kid's at prior to the lesson even beginning. And so I know not all my teachers, but a lot of them use this strategy because I mean, time's an issue. As we know, as teachers, we have so many things to do and so many decisions to make. So for them, it was something that was quick. It was a routine. I mean, they just kind of knew when they came in, pull up on their laptop, the Google form, fill it out, and then, you know, move forward in the lesson. So I think there's ways to do it where it's not so time consuming, but you also let that kid understand, like, I'm here for you. And sometimes you can even do it with the form as far as like, do you need just to step out with me and talk? You can have a yes or no question. I mean, there's ways to get to the bottom of things. And so many times if you have a trusting relationship with a student, then do you feel comfortable to push that button and to notify that teacher so that they can either go see a counselor, talk to the teacher, find someone that's, you know, going to help them in that situation. And I think, you know, we're talking about empowering students here with the question. I think when they know that you care about them as a human being, I think mm-hmm. that's when you start to get power in your voice. So when you're telling a kid you can do it, or, you know, you can achieve this goal, or give them some uplifting comment, that it doesn't just like fall off of them, but it actually means something because they know that your heart is there for them and their well-being.
Well, and they can tell too. That's why the one-to-one for me was always so important. And that doesn't have to be in one day. We could have it over the week. So I would always get them started on their major project, the very, very beginning pieces. And it depended on the class, of course. Or there's just so many ways that we could give ideas to link that in. But I would take the first week, because the first week is really getting in there anyway and just kind of setting up your classroom. And part of the setup for me was always that relationship and trust building, always. And so when I could do that, it just prevented so many issues later. If they believe they have an ally in you right away, especially those kids who are new to the school, they don't have any friends, they don't know anybody else. That happened a lot. Or even the ones you're just pulling them away from, I'll tell you, it was my sophomore classes, those little stinkers sometimes, those little 15-year-old boys sometimes, when you can pull them away from the audience. I can say that, I have three boys too. But if you just get one-on-one with them, you just can then call them out later. Sometimes it's just a look or just that voice, and they'll soften up. So it's just, there's little strategies like that that I found over time. Being proactive like that is a really good space to get to know them. But more importantly, I wouldn't talk at them too much in that space. And even in 2 minutes, you can build a really good rapport. Look them in the eye, listen to what they have to say, smile, show that face that you're not in the firm kind of space all the time. You're not reprimanding at this time. You're really trying to build the connection. And then also like thinking with an empathetic kind of ear and lens communication and try to see what's going on from their perspective. So if we just genuinely show up like that, it doesn't have to be prescribed. We don't have to think of all the skills of active listening and how posture. Just come in genuinely with a curiosity to get to know who this kid is, because you're going to be sharing a space with them.
Yeah, we used to do also inside circle, outside circle with relationship circles that we would, you know, have some silly question, right? Like, you know, what was the best show you saw, you know, of the summer, or what's your favorite fries? And it was kind of silly, but it was low level and we would rotate. So the inside circle would stay still. They never move, but the outside rotated, right? And we always had the teacher be a part of that. And as an administrator, if I saw a teacher doing this, like I'd jump in too. And it was really fun because you start to make connections with kids that maybe you never had a chance to actually have a conversation with as a leader. The teacher's doing it because she's also trying to make connections with her students too. Like, oh, you like In-N-Out fries? You know, I do too. And I remember doing this with my cohort of kids in a rotation where they found out I was a coach of football, basketball, and track. Well, I just made a connection with the kid that, you know, they just look at me as the assistant principal. they don't think of me as like a teacher or a coach, or I didn't exist outside of being that leader, right? So for them, then it made a connection, like a human connection. But they also learn communication skills. They also learn listening skills. They're also making connections with peers, making connections with an adult. And this is something that I think is a misconception, is like for our teachers, you know, they're like, oh, I really want to do a good job of like building a community in the first 2 weeks of my class. And then after that, it kind of goes to the wayside because we got to get in the curriculum. We got to make sure that, you know, our kids are mastering the objectives, which is important. But at the same point, I don't think that should fall off. Like that should continue through the year. And we can do things similar to this. This is just one of many examples where we can still find out about our students. We can still show like we care and we can continue to make connections. And when I did that with that little cohort of kids, you know, they would beg to do these relationship circles. Like every day they would ask, can we do it again? Can we do it again? So, you know, if time allowed, typically it was, then I would do it. And then they wanted to lead it. And they wanted to like think up some fun low level question because they wanted to make connections with other people in that class. So it's something that's easy, fun, but then also it's kind of build your bank with those kids to show that you care and you want to know about them as a person, as a human being.
Yeah. And also it shows that you can be playful. So like we always started off with the name game with a ball. And so we'd all get in a circle, each one of my classes, and we'd throw the ball and you'd have to say the person's name, and then they would say it to somebody else. So they might have to learn somebody's name that they don't know, and we'd have to say it right. Right. So it just teaches a little bit of humanity right away, but it's also playful and silly, and it shows respect. Like there's so many ways to build that in. And we got into curriculum very quickly. So people who think you can't do that, there's just ways to weave it in. And when you've been kind of more of a seasoned teacher, you know how to do that a little bit better. But right. It's just being playful is important, but it can be weaved in. It absolutely can. And I'm going to go back to that year-long project for a second. It took me a long time being a teacher to get to this point. But when I started teaching the same classes over and over, that was the great benefit of it. I created this year-long project in pieces. And so I used that time I created whole booklets for it. So that was great for when I wanted to have that one-to-one time with certain students. I'd say, okay, we're going to work on a year-long project. And then they always had it with them. It wasn't on the computer. I mean, I had electronic versions, but they had it. And then also when I had a substitute at the last minute that was difficult to plan, that was helpful to me because I would have them work out of their booklets. But there was a lot we could do around that too. That's just a whole new strategy.
Well, we're up against time. So I want to do our last bit before we end the show. All right, I'm going to make this question quick. What is one snack or drink you always had in hand, either in your classroom or your office?
Wow, Twizzlers. I loved having Twizzlers. There's so many things that just, it brings me joy. What about you?
I mean, this is not going to be no shock to anyone that's listened to anything I've talked about before, but I'm a lover of coffee. So I always had coffee in hand, or I had it in a travel mug in my back pocket, and peanut M&Ms. So those were my two go-tos in my office. So.
It's funny how it's candy. It was not, none of those are healthy.
I know. I eat healthier now, but when I was a AP, I was on the struggle bus. I needed the sweets and the caffeine.
Busy.
Yes. Busy. All right, y'all. So I'm going to throw up, as I promised, this summit registration that's going to be in September. So we'll make sure it's in the show notes for you to sign up for free. I will say too, obviously we have some wonderful resources for you on our website. So you can head over to joshsteinberg.com/language of behavior. And of course, we have the relationship inventory for free for you. So you can sign up for that. Also, thrivingeducator.org. And then, of course, we'll be here every Tuesday for you. We're excited to be able to be in California. Of course, we've got some additional things happening in the near future as we're kicking off school districts. We're also speaking at other additional conferences too. And if you need anything from us, of course, you can reach out. We'd love to support you. Also love to throw up the bit.ly for folks to ask questions similar to Velma. We appreciate your question for this episode. So make sure you're filling this out. It's super simple. And of course, we'd love to support you in any way possible. Is there any closing thoughts, Charlie, before we wrap this up?
Yeah, the one thing you can do with your students in the very beginning is say, or just ask them, who is someone you trust in the school right now? And if they say no one, make that person be you.
Yeah, love it.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.